We're on this morning with David Fowler, the Senior Vice President of Capital Markets at Associated Bank. David, good morning. Happy New Year.
Happy New Year, Steve, and Happy New Year to all your listeners.
Thank you very much. I want to begin our conversation on Brexit. As our Brexit expert, lots of developments in this story. But before we hit that, I want to sort of reset with our listeners as to why we as investors should be paying attention to all of this Brexit news, which seems to just be continuing week after week.
Well, I think it's going to be important, certainly from a corporate standpoint. Corporations operate around the globe, and Brexit is giving people a chance to see in real time what happens when trade groups, that have been established for, since the early 70s, in the case of the UK's membership of the EEC, when those kind of dissolve and change. And what we see now, the impacts in areas of trade diversion, difficulties with attracting inward investment. And, I think all of these type of things, help reinforce the idea that, these trade agreements are there to make international trade more convenient, which means that, consumers ultimately end up with better choices, hopefully lower prices, and, all the things that people kind of want to see. I think Brexit is giving everybody a chance to see what's happening in the UK, where you are seeing less choice, higher prices, trade disruption, shortages on the shelves. So from that point of view, I think it's a salutary tale for people to look at. I think, though, but with all these things, there's also opportunity. And if this can, if this divorce that the UK has had from the European Union, if this can be sorted out in a way that works for everybody, it does provide international businesses a real opportunity, because now they have choice. They have choice between locations that are fairly convenient to a very large population. We're looking at, close to 400 million people when we take the UK and the EU together. That's an enormous market. And now you have a choice of how you locate if you want to enter those markets, whether you look at the UK and take, the advantages and disadvantages there versus a direct EU location or vice versa. And that choice didn't exist. So I think there is an opportunity on the corporate side for, international investment, for people to look at how we are going to restructure things. And to be honest, I think COVID also, in one respect, is kind of focuses a little bit too, in that this idea of shortening supply chains. So there may be reasons now for U.S. companies, for example, that are looking to, create production facilities in Europe, now have a choice between looking at the regulatory environment in the UK versus the regulatory environment in the EU, and looking how they can kind of shorten these kind of supply chains or refocus them. So as in all these things, there are obviously difficulties, and the difficulties tend to be very kind of focused in the short term, but there are also opportunities, and I think they may kind of present themselves a little more as we go into the medium term.
As we begin the new year, though, there is some doom and gloom in all of this. The Cold Chain Federation in the UK, which is a trade group of businesses that do trade, that carry food, have issued a dire prediction that the small business in Britain should expect trade with the EU to be permanently damaged from all of the Brexit goings on. Talk to us a little bit about that.
Well, as your listeners probably remember, last year the EU started bringing in some new regulations as we started the divorce process started, and we had the official separation. And we saw issues with UK exporters, particularly small companies that were exporting, into kind of local markets within the European Union, facing a lot of difficulties from, paperwork, delays, costs, things like phytosanitary certificates and all this type of stuff, all these kind of non-tariff barriers that suddenly came into place. What we're seeing now is the second shoe has fallen. So now the UK is implementing their regulations for imports into the UK, which is now making it really difficult for small UK importers of European Union origin goods to operate. And, you know, so it's, again, this kind of flip side of what happened last year. There is a significant amount of red tape that's now been put into place as of January 1st. And, you know, all of this red tape means additional costs and additional delays. And if, you know, you're selling, if you're selling, you know, into the EU, you know, products that cost, you know, $25 or $30, and you have to spend $700 on phytosanitary certificates to do it, you're just not going to do it. Likewise, if you're importing, you know, specialty cheeses or something like this from France, the costs of doing it may become so much that you just say, I'm just not going to do it anymore. And I think what we're going to see is kind of what economists predicted we would see. And, you know, as they say, you know, if you get four economists in a room, you're going to get five opinions. But in this one, there was kind of a general feeling that there were a couple of things that were definitely going to happen. And one was trade diversion. And that's what we're seeing. We're seeing in the UK that trade that was done with the EU is now starting to divert to either third countries or domestic suppliers, or in the short term, not occurring at all. And the last one is the one that's really biting the most, because this is the one that means that consumers have less choice, that they'll probably pay higher prices, and, you know, economic activity will decline.
There was a report that I think it was the Federation of Small Businesses in the UK that said only about a quarter of their members were ready for all of this, suggesting that maybe some of these businesses were hoping things would change at the last minute before these rules took effect. Is that a fair assessment of why so many have been caught flat-footed on this?
I think it, to an extent it may be. You know, I think a lot of these companies were just, you know, trying to get through the last year, you know, with everything else that was going on, you know, and you fight the fire that's the hottest, you know. So this was, you know, kind of put, I think, on the long finger. We had the same issue, frankly, last year as well, when the EU brought in the regulations. Most UK companies were not prepared for what was going to happen. So I think there was a certain kind of hope, misplaced as it may be, that some kind of miraculous resolution would occur. And I think they'll now pay the price for that.
It's not just goods that are crossing physical borders in trucks moving, you know, actual goods, things you can hold in your hands. It's also trade that's happening online. There was a report that thousands of websites were taken offline because of a domain name change situation involving Brexit. Talk to us a little bit about what's happening with the .eu domains.
Yeah, it's kind of ironic, really, that even the Leave campaign, which were the guys that were organizing the kind of leaving the EU political aspect, their domain, leave.eu, was also taken down. To have, you know, every country has its own web domain. So, you know, for example, the usual one in the UK is .co.uk. In Ireland, it's .ie. In Germany, it's .de. There is one for the European Union, which is .eu. So rather than having, you know, blah, 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 .com, as you would have here, they would have blah, 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 .eu. To have that, you have to have residence. And so that means either the owner of the website has to be a European Union national, or the organization has to be located and registered in the EU. Obviously, any business in the UK would not qualify under either of those. And, you know, companies do this because they want to try to make the online purchase as kind of seamless as possible. So, you know, if you were buying something from a website that's in another country and you know it's in another country, immediately you think things are going to be more difficult and it's got to go through customs and da-da-da, and you might just switch to somebody else. If you make it look as though we're all, you know, this is a local company, so to speak, you know, that tends to, you know, increase trade on your website. That's why companies in the UK often had .eu websites, now they won't be able to have those. So, and that's just, you know, the way it is. It's just like, you know, I can't have a .co.uk website as a US resident. But it will make trade, again, that little bit more difficult, because people will be able to see, oh, these guys are not part of the European Union. And conversely, you know, if you're in the UK and you buy something for a website that says .eu, you know, you probably know you're going to be waiting a while to get something.
David, I think the biggest question a lot of people have is, you know, when all of this might be sorted out. I mean, there's so many different aspects. And again, we've been talking about it for years with our conversations. But do you see 2022 bringing some sort of easing of any of this?
I think it's going to be interesting to see what happens. You know, as your listeners may remember, towards the during December, Lord Frost, who was the UK negotiator, or Frosty the No Man, as he sometimes is called, because he only said no to everything, he resigned because he didn't like the way that Brexit was working out. Now, oddly enough, it wasn't because he thought it was working out, you know, to be too bad, like, you know, delivering less. He wanted it to be actually much more severe. Liz Truss, who is the foreign secretary, who was previously the international trade secretary, has taken over the Brexit negotiations. It's, you know, no secret that relations between the EU negotiators and the UK negotiators prior to Liz Truss taking over were terrible. Complete lack of trust. There still is a lack of trust, I think, between the EU negotiators and the UK generally. Liz, you know, putting somebody new in may change the dynamics a little bit, which might help. But certainly, and I think the EU has also kind of indicated that they have kind of reached the end of the road in terms of what they're prepared to do. So if there is a realization by the UK that, you know, this is the best deal they're going to get, and they decide that they can live with that deal, then I think we do see some resolution. If they don't, and they trigger Article 16 because of the Northern Ireland Protocol or something like this, I think that would set a really bad tone. And the EU said that would lead to suspension of the entire agreement. And that, I think, would be pretty catastrophic for both sides, but more so for the UK. You know, are we going to see the end of the uncertainty, which is what all businesses are trying to find? Probably not in 22, maybe in 23, but certainly not in 22. So, you know, regardless of the political side, the real problem, you know, from the commercial side is and has been that no one really knows what the rules are going to be tomorrow. So this uncertainty means that investors, you know, companies that are looking to invest in the UK, you know, sit back and wait. Companies that are looking to sign deals to import from the UK are probably going to sit back and wait too, because they really just don't know what's going on. And, the, you know, from a commercial point of view, that uncertainty, I don't see that changing in the short run, which is terrible. That's a terrible kind of solution for everyone.
All right, David, good conversation as always. How can people get a hold of you and have a one-on-one if they want?
Well, you can always get me on the desk, which is the Associated Bank Capital Markets desk, is 866-524-8836, or you can reach me by email on david.feller, so it's david.feller@associatedbank.com.
All right, David, we'll talk to you next time. Thank you.
Take care.